Suppose this afternoon, having been refreshed from an extra hour's sleep, and it being a beautiful day, you sit back and you're watching maybe the Redskins game or the Steelers game, whatever it may be. Outside, some kids are playing football. Then all of a sudden you hear, crash! You wonder what happened. Then the doorbell rings. Bong, bong. You open the door, and there's these little boys standing there, and they're sort of quivering, and they say, we're really sorry, but in playing football, the football hit your lamppost. Crash. Now, you would calmly say, of course, well, that's okay, thank you for admitting that, but would that really be the end of it? No. You'd probably say, well, you have to repair the lamppost. So be it. Basically a true story. A few things changed, but it happened to my brother and myself years ago. But the person behind the door is my father, and he wasn't so subdued. But anyway, but that's another homily in itself, isn't it? But the idea is, when we do something wrong, when we violate justice, when we commit a sin, we have to admit it, recognize it for what it is, repent, have contrition, sorrow for our sin, but also make reparation. We have to heal justice to restore it. And so it is in our gospel today. So Jesus is going to Jericho. Here's this little but very wealthy and chief tax collector who wants to see him. Now, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, so immediately what sparks in our mind is he's a sinner, an untouchable one in Jewish society, because tax collectors worked for Rome, the pagan evil empire. So Rome would set the tax base by law, but then they'd also set a fixed increment to be added, which the tax collectors kept as their own income. So Rome just wanted its tax base. Well, immediately we could think, well, if I'm a tax collector, I could play with that increment and make a lot of money at the expense of my fellow citizens. And so they did. Tax collectors were notorious for playing with that increment. Now, Zacchaeus hears of Jesus. Maybe it's because in that tax collector network of communication, he heard that 100 miles north by the Sea of Galilee, in Capernaum, Matthew, the tax collector, had been called by Christ and now followed Christ as an apostle. More likely, he heard of how Jesus cured the blind man right outside the gates of Jericho. So Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. We should understand that grace is at work here. Zacchaeus knows something's missing in his life, and so he wants to see Jesus. The grace of God is at work. So Jesus is coming along. Zacchaeus can't see him. He goes up the tree, and Jesus spots him and says, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. So Christ came to save him. But this, too, is a moment of grace, but a real moment of crisis, because Zacchaeus has to decide, well, do I really let Jesus into my home, meaning my soul, or not? Do I just want to see him, or do I want to know him and fall in love with him? Notice what Zacchaeus does. He repents, and he makes reparation. He says, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. Well, the Torah said all you have to do is give 20%. That's a good alms. Zacchaeus says, I will pay back anyone I've extorted 4 times over. Well, the Torah said that would be for the worst crime. Normally, it would just be another 20% above. So Zacchaeus is not only making restitution, he's going above and beyond what is owed. So truly, salvation has come to his home, his soul. Well, my brothers and sisters, as we consider this gospel passage, and we're approaching the end of the year of faith that we've been celebrating, and our liturgical year, all of which culminates in the Feast of Christ the King, the last Sunday of November, shouldn't we be thinking, have I really not only seen Jesus better, But have I gotten to know him better? Have I allowed him more into my soul? Have I allowed that grace of God to work in my life? So hopefully during this time, we have taken the time for prayer, for reading scripture, for studying the faith, doing something to renew our faith, whatever it may be. The real critical question, though, is have we taken time to be reconciled, to really have made a good confession? This is so important because you and I well know we sin. And even if we aren't committing those awful mortal sins, even those venial sins disrupt the relationships, the relationship with God, with our neighbor, even with ourselves. No one can really say, well, I didn't hurt anyone else. We do. Maybe we don't think about hurting someone else or see it, but we do. We hurt God if we violate his laws. We hurt ourselves because any sin tarnishes that image and likeness, that Christian character we're supposed to have. And really, any sin that dwells up inside of us is going to affect the relationships of others, how we treat other people. So none of us can say, well, I didn't hurt anyone else. So we need to take that time to pray for the grace, to remember what we have failed to do or the sins that we have committed, to go to confession, repent, have real contrition, and be forgiven. However, there's that next step, and that's what we call penance. And penance is that healing of the hurts caused by sin. It's really the reparation for the injustice. All of us do penance having gone to confession. Of course, it may be rather simple when a priest says, well, say three Our Fathers. But those could be truly, totally heartfelt Our Fathers that heal those sins. But do we really go further, just like Zacchaeus did? After all, looking at our lives, there's probably times when we don't even remember hurts that we've caused, those little venial sins that we've caused. We don't remember them. So how do we atone for those? How do we make reparation? Well, by doing other penances. So think of Zacchaeus, for instance. One way would be to make real restitution. As we get older, it seems, memories from the past sort of pop up. Maybe we remember something we did that we never really made restitution for. For instance, over 20 years ago, obviously another parish assignment, I knew a man who was dying of cancer. And slowly the cancer was progressing. And towards the end he said, Father, I really need to talk with you. So I went over to his house and he started telling me about his early life. Back in World War II days, when he was in the service stationed over in Europe. He said that at that point he was billeted in like a hotel that the Allies had taken over. So he's staying there and he said, being a young man, I stole $10. And I forgot about it for a long time, but now the memory came back. And I need to make restitution. So he handed me a check for $1,000. And he said, this is the $10 plus the inflation plus the interest. Use this for the poor. That is restitution. And he could die with a healed soul. He could die with a clean conscience now. We should consider that, making restitution. If there's anything that we have thought of, remembered, then we ought to heal the hurt. It might not be so much something physical as that was. Maybe it's even something verbal, trying to correct some misinformation. Who knows? But restitution heals the hurt. Another way is by giving alms. In the book of Tobit, where the archangel Raphael appears to Tobit, the archangel says, it is better to give alms than to store up gold. For almsgiving saves one from death and expiates every sin. Those who regularly give alms enjoy a full life. So my brothers and sisters, we should do these acts of charity, but make them real acts of sacrifice. For instance, we have our food drive this weekend, and really the amount of food collected so far is overwhelming, and I can't thank you enough for that. Perhaps, though, for next month, do it in a different way. For you parents, maybe say to your kids, for the food drive this month, instead of going to the movies this week, or maybe going out to dinner this week, we're going to use that money. So all of us as a family are going to make the sacrifice, and with that money, we'll buy the food for the poor. That's real almsgiving. And we'll do this as a penance. Think of the tremendous graces we would receive by doing that. By making such sacrifices, the Lord rewards us in incredible ways. After all, in our life, we could allow things to crowd out Christ. Just like Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd, we can allow things to crowd out Christ in our lives. Maybe it is money or pleasures, whatever it may be. And almsgiving, by making that sacrifice, really gets rid of the crowd. It enables us to open up our soul to allow Christ in. Consider the almsgiving. Lastly, think about also indulgences. We don't hear much about indulgences these days. Remember, at the beginning of the Year of Faith, the bishop offered certain indulgences by making pilgrimages and so on. Actually, this goes back to the early tradition of the church. In the very early church, when we were under persecution, we had very small church communities, much smaller than our congregation right now. Instead of saying the Confiteor during this time of preparation for Mass, people went to confession. Confession was public. Wouldn't that be fun if all of us had to make a public confession and tell our sins? Luckily, we don't have to do that. But in those days, they did. Before they could be absolved, they had to do their penance. Penances were very severe. They could last months. They could last even a year. And after the penance was completed, the person was absolved, and then that person could receive communion again. Luckily, after persecution ended, things changed. But during that time, to alleviate penances, when martyrs were preparing for death, these penitents would say, "Will you offer your sacrifice, your sufferings, to help atone for my sins?" Realizing there's going to be this abundance of grace that flows out of that act of martyrdom. And the church considered that as truly a reparation for sin. So given that, the penitent would be absolved and be able to be back in full communion. Well, in the same way, we have these indulgences that, given this huge bounty of graces that the saints and others have won for us, the church says to any of us, to help make reparation for your sin, you can do this good work or do this spiritual work. For instance, if a person did the Stations of the Cross, that's a plenary indulgence, or said the Rosary as a family or a group in church, or read sacred scripture for 30 minutes, or just prayed here in church before the Blessed Sacrament for 30 minutes. Those are all plenary indulgences that the church allows these graces, this bounty of graces, to make reparation for our own hurts due to sin and thereby heal our souls. It's sort of like this, that if someone was sick in our congregation, maybe we could pool together all of our sick leave to help that person. Well, that's in a way what's going on here, that we pull together this abundance of graces to help make reparation. Now, keep in mind that when we talk about these good works of reparation, of making the sacrifices of almsgiving or the indulgences, not only can we apply them to us, but also our faithful departed, especially the souls in purgatory. Those souls cannot pray for themselves, but we can help them. Just as saints help us with their prayers, we ask for their prayers, we can help the poor souls. So during this November time, having just celebrated All Souls Day, think about making those acts of reparation, doing those acts of penance, perhaps pursuing the indulgence, and offer it for the repose of the souls of your own loved ones. So, my brothers and sisters, coming to the end of this liturgical year, the year of faith, let us be like Zacchaeus, to truly not just want to see Jesus, but to know Jesus, to allow Jesus to enter into our home, our little soul. That way, as St. Paul said in our second reading, we will live a life worthy of the Lord. We will live a life with the dignity of a true Christian. May God bless you.